This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A movement to change the map of Idaho to include rural counties in eastern and southern Oregon and as far as Northern California is moving forward. The president of Move Oregon's Border for Greater Idaho, Mike McCarter, has rallied seven of Oregon's 36 counties to vote in favor of considering becoming a part of Idaho.
It's not the final straw. This has been going on for several years, but it's just reaching ahead right now. And the people in rural Oregon are starting to speak out. Enough is enough. We are tired of being ruled by Northwest Oregon and their experiments up there, their taxes up there, their drug freedom and everything that's going on up there. And we are just crying out to let us go. Allow us to be part of Idaho.
Mr. McCarter on Fox News says he's ashamed of Oregon's social experiments. USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Peace in the Middle East. Egyptian negotiators have brokered a peace deal between Israel and the terrorist organization Hamas, leaders of the Palestinian people. To date, 227 people in Gaza and 12 in Israel have been killed in the most recent conflict. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed legislation Thursday ending mask mandates for schools in the state. The governor said, "The state of Iowa is putting parents back in control of their child's education and taking greater steps to protect the rights of all Iowans to make their own health care decisions." End quote. More than 150 missing children have been found in North Carolina, a few of whom were victims of human trafficking, according to police. On Wednesday, Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department announced more than 130 missing runaways and juvenile children were found in an investigation called Operation Carolina Homecoming. The operation, which took place April 26th to May 7th, some of these children have been missing from 6 months to more than a year, and most were around 14 to 18 years of age. USA Radio News.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
You too can get in on Ford's new electric pickup truck. Tim Burke from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau reports.
At least 20,000 people are lining up to buy Ford's new electric F-150 pickup. CEO Jim Farley telling CNBC that's how many reservations they got after revealing the new F-150 Lightning Wednesday night. Those interested can go to Ford's website and a $100 refundable deposit must be made. Among those already having taken the vehicle for a spin is President Biden. Biden visiting a Ford facility earlier this week. As far as how that test drive came to fruition, Farley tells CNBC.
We showed him the vehicle in confidence because we haven't revealed it. And he's like, "I want to get in." And the Secret Service is like, "No, Mr. President, we don't want you to get in." And he looked at me and I said, "You should get in." And so he jumped in the vehicle. He's playing with the technology. And then in the middle of the speech, he goes, "I want to drive this car." And everyone kind of laughed. And he's like, "No, I'm serious." And then I got a tap on my shoulder. "Hey, the Chief of Security said, you got to get in the motorcade. We're going over to your test track." I said, "Okay."
Ford says its new electric F-150 Lightning pickup truck will be profitable when it arrives at U.S. dealerships next year. Pricing for the vehicle range from about $40,000 for a work truck to about $90,000 for a high-end model. A mountain lion that roamed the streets of San Francisco for 2 days has been captured and will be returned to the wild. The 100-pound, 2-year-old male was found in a tree on Mission Street Wednesday night. I'm Lance Pry, and this is USA Radio News.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Fresh and independent. This is Bill Martinez.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. We've got DeRoy Murdoch. Yes, the one and only DeRoy Murdoch joins us, the Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor of National Review Online, founding member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network. DeRoy, always good to be talking to you. How are you, buddy?
No, great, Bill. Great to talk to you.
Hey, I want to follow up on what we talked about last week, because you took it a little bit further, and I think that between people commenting on it and, you know, what you struck in terms of a chord that is so important and people need to hear, especially people of color, and that is that, yes, black success matters, but that America should celebrate and cultivate it.
Absolutely right. You know, we've heard through this whole recent debate about the critical race theory and the Black Lives Matter movement and all that. We hear about white fragility and white privilege, white supremacy, white nationalism. And there's this whole idea that white folks are all oppressors, whether they like it or not, and black people are all oppressed victims, whether we like it or not. Neither the white folks or the black folks can do anything about this. We're all just sort of set, you know, stuck, trapped in amber in these, you know, dominant and submissive roles. And I just think it's such an awful message to send, and not just an awful message, but just really a pile of lies. Black folks have succeeded in this country for centuries, and the critical race theory people who are pushing that line of thought completely ignore the long list of achievements that blacks have had from, you know, the Civil War onward, you know, starting with people like Booker T. Washington, who wrote a fantastic book about Up From Slavery. He was born a slave and went on to found the Tuskegee Institute. He spoke around the country. He became arguably the most influential black man in the country at about 1900, give or take. Sat down to dinner at the White House under President Teddy Roosevelt, Republican president. First black man to sit in the White House as a guest rather than as a servant. Then he had a woman about 1910 or so, Madam C.J. Walker. She started a hair care company, became a self-made millionaire back when $1 million was a big amount of money. You go on to the creation of jazz, the Harlem Renaissance, Duke Ellington, Louis Armstrong, all these other tremendous black artists. And then more recently, you bet. Hang on a second. Let me clear my throat.
I'm going to let you grab some water there. But, yes, I mean, there's an endless list. And what comes to mind just as you recite this, and as soon as you get your voice back and you finish up your thought here, is that how many other stories in this so-called naked city of black success that we don't even know about, that people just went about their business, they took care of their families, you know, as we often say, the cream rises to the top. They just did what was designed in them by God Almighty. And but those stories, maybe in families, they might be traditionally, you know, spread. But overall, in context, like, you know, some of these noted names, whether you're talking about people who've contributed to science or, you know, music and entertainment and culture, I mean, these are names that most of us know about.
There are famous names. You know, I like to point Berry Gordy out. He took an $800 loan from his family, created Motown Records. Some people are not as well known, but certainly very influential, and those are black CEOs of major companies. I wrote about this in a piece called Black Success Matters on FoxNews.com
details a lot of this. For example, a woman named Ursula Burns was the CEO of Xerox. Ken Chenault, CEO of American Express. Right now, Kenneth Frazier is the CEO of Merck. A man named Richard Parsons was the CEO of Citigroup and Time Warner, two massive companies. Probably the most impressive black CEO is a man named E. Stanley O'Neill. His grandfather was born into slavery. His grandson, E. Stanley O'Neill, became CEO of Merrill Lynch. That family went from slavery to the chairmanship of Merrill Lynch in two generations.
And this is a systemically racist country. Yeah, and this wasn't orchestrated by some sort of government edict. This was orchestrated by people who knew what they were doing. It was meritorious. They rose through the ranks, right? And to hear, you know, the government and politicians are trying to make it into a political thing, and they're actually getting in the way of, you know, as we say, the cream rising naturally based on merit.
Yeah, you don't become chairman of American or CEO of American Express, Merrill Lynch or Citigroup, major financial houses, out of a quota program or because they feel sorry for you because you're black. You know, these are serious companies with serious shareholders and board members and major investors, and they're not going to put you at the top of an organization like that unless they have a pretty good belief that you're going to succeed and not set the vault on fire, if you will. Mm-hmm. And this is, you say, these people got to the very top of the commanding heights, if you will, of American finance, American media, American communications, American arts, because they excelled. They excelled and deserve to be there. And, again, the critical race theory people don't want you to hear about this. They just want you to hear that, you know, Jim Crow is about to come back. You know, who knows? Slavery might return, and the Klan's around every corner. And if you're black, you know, you're not going to make it. You're going to fail. And, you know, for me to hear that message, this rolls right off my back because I don't believe it. But if I were a 10-year-old kid hearing this, I'm hearing this from baseball players. I'm hearing this from celebrities. I'm hearing this from rappers. I'm hearing this from the President of the United States and the Vice President of the United States. I'm thinking, why should I bother doing my homework? Why should I go to class? Why should I raise my hand and participate? Maybe I should, just join a gang and go sell drugs on the street corner because I'm not going to make it. And I'm pretty much on a track of failure.
Exactly.
They're trying to succeed. It's a truly, truly cancerous message.
It really is, and it opens the door for excuses. And then it stifles you in such a way because you're no longer in the game. You've been sidelined, and you sidelined yourself by accepting that narrative instead of, you know, looking at the facts and doing a deeper dive. And in light of all this knowledge that's so easily available to us, most people have, you know, cell phones, and we're able to. We've got walking libraries in our hands. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's almost no excuse to purposely dumb yourself down and surrender your intellect for the sake of some false narrative like this. And we're calling it out because it is not in your best interest. This is not a Republican or Democratic thing. This is just a we the people. This is just everyday citizen kind of thing. You know, is that we want you. Everybody wants you to be the best you can be. I mean, you know, that old army saying or, you know, military saying. But it's true. Because if you're the best, then, you know, it raises the bar for all of us and encourages all of us who are in the game to be a better version of ourselves.
That's absolutely right. You know, I think we excel and advance as a society with each of us doing the very best job he or she possibly can. And this opposite message of you know, you being basically doomed to failure by birth and by the color of your skin, it's just a horrible, horrible message. And it should be the opposite. Look, you know, you're in a thriving country, and despite COVID-19, we seem to be getting over it. We have tremendous resources. We have enormous financial resources. We've got so many ingredients of prosperity and success in this society. So take advantage of them and make us all proud and make us all better Americans, by the example you yourself can set. That ought to be the message to tell young black and Hispanic boys and girls in school. Instead, you can't make it. You're going to fail. It's a rigged system. You're doomed. I mean, this is just an awful thing. And the way that white kids are treated, I just spoke the other day. I had the pleasure of visiting Charleston, South Carolina for a few days. Beautiful, beautiful place. And ran into some friends of mine who are grandparents and told me that I believe one of their grandkids or one of their grandkids' friends, I think it's about 11, 12 years old, in school. And these white kids were told to apologize to the black kids in their class.
Oh.
As if these 11 and 12-year-old kids had anything to do with Jim Crow or segregation or slavery or any of that stuff. I mean, these are people who are born in the year 2010. They were born under a black president when Obama was in the White House. And they've got got to turn to, they are supposed to turn around and apologize to the black kids in their class. I mean, how do you develop friendships between black and white people? You've got one group of people apologize to the other, you know, one feeling, oh, I guess I'm oppressing my friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Black kid, and the black kid thinking, oh, that guy's an oppressor.
But okay, well, let's pick it up on the other side of the break. We've got more from DeRoy after this. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-897-1434. 800-897-1434. That's 800-897-1434. Paid for by Airtime Media.
This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. The VA is working closely with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and with other federal partners to provide COVID-19 vaccines as quickly and safely as they can. The VA knows that you have lots of questions and information is changing so fast, so please check back to the VA.gov website for updates, and they will continue to update the website on a regular basis to give you the latest information. If you find yourself not enrolled in the VA, but you need a COVID-19 vaccine, then go to the VA.gov and locate the nearest VA facility to you so you can reach out and find out how you can schedule your vaccine shots. If you happen to be not only a veteran, but a spouse of a veteran or caregiver or a CHAMP VA recipient, the VA will contact you and let you know when your vaccine shot will be ready. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. This is Dan Perkins, and thanks for listening.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez.
We're back with you, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, DeRoy Murdoch, the Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, continues with us. DeRoy, you know, this apologizing tour now that is invading our classrooms, I mean, this is so disgusting. I mean, talk about a non sequitur. Talk about really a breakdown in the foundations of education, which at its very minimal, it should be based on the truth.
Yeah, at a bare minimum, it should be. And I think we completely have lost something, which is, do we have any basic humanity we all share? And can we possibly focus on that than focusing on our differences? You know, the left likes to say, oh, diversity is our strength, and let's look at our differences, let's celebrate our differences. They never spend any time talking about our commonalities. Do we have anything in common? Do we share anything at all? Or it's just, you're different, I'm different. Let's all focus on how different we are.
Right.
And not see if there's anything we share, whether it be, you know, love of team sports or drama class or, it's really fun doing debate together. Or we're all in Spanish class. We're all learning to speak Spanish. Isn't that a cool thing? No, it's just, you're different. You came from this background, and you know I'm oppressing you. You're oppressing me. And how are we supposed to be friends and get along beyond that? It's
exactly.
Very destructive. I was fortunate enough to go to an integrated junior high and high school in California, Paul Revere Junior High and Palisades High School, and we had black kids and white kids and not many, but a few Hispanic kids and some Asian kids. And we got along fine. We didn't spend any time focusing on you're black, you're white. We got to be friends across racial lines. We participated in class together. People competed together on teams. People served together from different backgrounds on student council where I was. People did arts and drama together. And we got along fine. You know, we got to be friends. And I'm still friends with friends of mine I've known since seventh grade. I've known some of these people going back to 1976. What is that, coming up on 45 years? We're still friends. We still see each other. That's a beautiful thing. And I think if you're in a class and you're told, okay, you're oppressing that person over there, go apologize to him. I mean, how do you build a friendship after that?
Exactly. Well, you know, how intellectually dishonest and debilitating and so simple that we would designate people based on skin color. I mean, now we're going back and, you know, hearing what Tim Scott says is ridiculous to, you know, fight racism with racism. I mean, this is what this has done. It's gone full circle. And somebody's got to call it for what it is. I mean, one voice at a time, you know, hey, look, we're going to be canceled. But there's enough of us that I don't think they have enough canceling ability to cancel, you know, 90% of America that has some reason, that they haven't checked in their brains with this idiotic movement that seems to be, you know, taking control of the narrative here. We've got to take this back, DeRoy.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And I think there are about 95% of us who disagree with this and probably 5% who agree with this nonsense. And the 95% absolutely have to stand up and essentially shout down the other 5%. Tell them, look, you need to stop. You're tearing this country to pieces. You're pitting us against each other. Rather than racial harmony, you're creating racial tension and racial acrimony and dissolving the bonds that are holding us together as a heterogeneous people from all corners of the world. And if this stuff continues, you know, it ends up, I think, eventually in balkanization and possibly,
yes,
you know, racial bloodshed.
Oh,
this,
yeah,
is awful. It needs to stop now. And people of goodwill, you're right, one person at a time gets shot down. But if we all rise up and say enough is enough, I'm very happy to see that parents have been showing up at school board meetings and
exactly.
A number of governors have been banning this critical race theory stuff. You know, we can put an end to this and get back to the idea of looking at people as individuals, not saying, oh, I see your skin color, therefore XYZ. That's called racial prejudice.
Right,
the whole
exactly.
point of the civil rights movement was, don't look at people and based on their skin color, make any assumptions about them. Because you don't know if
yeah.
they're good or bad, rich or poor, smart or dumb. You don't know any of that until you get to know them as people, not just as pieces of pigmentation walking around on the streets.
Well, Rachel Maddow and others would want us to think, a qualifying consideration of someone if they're wearing a mask or not. I mean, she is so bewildered by it. She says that it's going to be required of her to rewire her thinking to not look at someone who's not wearing a mask to be less than or to be an enemy. I mean, it's like, wait a minute. I mean, it's quite telling. I mean, to hear her talk, it's like this is what the left is begging for. They're begging for an enemy. And now with mask mandates going out the door, it's like, oh, my God, we lost our enemy. I mean, you know, Donald Trump's no longer in the White House. What do we do? We
don't, exactly right.
We need a new enemy.
No, we need a new enemy. Yeah, the maskless people. No, it's remarkable that these are the same people who say, oh, listen to scientists. Well, the scientists, the CDC said a couple days ago, if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask indoors or outside. You can get basically burn your mask or put it in a drawer and leave it there as a,
right.
or put it on the wall as a souvenir to remember the last terrible 14 months.
And yeah, within 48 hours, they came to that conclusion, Gervais. I mean, because they went from one extreme to the other in 48 hours. It's like, what?
I guess the science must have changed. I guess they put something in the test tube and they got a different result, right?
I guess.
So these folks still want to hang on to their masks. David Hogg, who's the big gun control advocate, said he's going to keep his mask on because he doesn't want to take it off and run the risk that people think he's a conservative. So this is just a big major, you know, not just virtue signal, virtue broadcasting exercise.
Right.
And, you know, some people have said that the mask is basically like the left-wing MAGA hat.
Yeah.
And some of these folks are going to keep their masks on for years. But look, what they want to do, makes them feel better, great. The rest of us, I'm fully vaccinated.
Rest of us, we're just going to have one big bonfire, except for I keep saying, I was talking to a gal the other day. She was all perfectly, you know, she was designed. I mean, she had this great-looking dress and a matching mask and everything. I said, you got a matching mask? She goes, oh, I'm a diva.
I'm a diva.
Okay.
Well, Nancy Pelosi, you may notice I'm not a big fan of hers, but she has these beautiful masks that match her outfits. I mean, it's really quite
I mean, we got thousands of dollars invested in masks. Mm-hmm. Some of these guys go, I'm not burning no mask. I mean, you know, hey, it could come back because we wanted to, because I got these great looking masks. Now, I heard that you had a mask incident of your own on JetBlue, huh?
I did. I was flying back to Charleston on Monday, and they handed out these very nice, you know, drinks and snacks and stuff. And the snack I was eating was these delicious popcorners, they're called. Delicious. I've never had them before. They're wonderful.
Oh, you never had them before?
Never.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Great. Exactly.
Really,
and they're free. You can take a couple extras and put them in your bag.
Precisely. So I'm there eating this thing, and the steward comes over and says, oh, you got to put your mask on. I said, well, I'm eating the chips. And he walks away, and then later on he said, sir, you got to wear your mask. I said, I'm still eating the chips. 2 minutes later, the stewardess comes over, puts a little notice on my tray table that says, notice of inappropriate behavior.
Non-compliance,
non-compliance, something like this. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is a notice to cease objectionable and illegal behavior is what it says in big, big capital letters.
Oh, wow, and they threw a penalty flag on you. Oh, my God.
It's got, you know, federal code, this and the other, very official looking. And I said, look, I'm still eating my chips. She said, oh, you're down to crumbs. And I'm like, well, I like the crumbs. And she said, well, you'll be met on the ground. So I'm thinking, great, so the SWAT team is going to come on and drag me off the plane and beat me silly or whatever. Fortunately, it turned out to be a JetBlue gate agent, lead gate agent, whatever it is. And she said, asked me what the story was. I said, look, I was eating the chips. I can't eat and wear a mask at the same time. She said, well, I just need to let you know that you're required to wear your mask on the plane. I said, well, then maybe you guys shouldn't hand us chips if you don't want us to, you know, if you want us to keep our masks on. So,
right.
Fortunately, it didn't end up as a major federal incident, as I thought. If it's okay to wear, if you're vaccinated, not to wear a mask indoors, you should be able to not wear a mask on a plane, where after all they recirculate the air every 3 minutes through these super, super strong filters. I think you're safer on a plane than you are probably sitting in a restaurant. And
exactly.
I'd really like to see the airplane mandate ditched so we can, you know, fly the friendly skies while being able to breathe air rather than, you know, suffocate slowly.
Well, this is the problem. See, the government has subordinated that authority to the TSA, to, you know, different businesses and that sort of thing. It's helter-skelter. I mean, even here in Florida, DeRoy, I mean, you know, even though the mandate has been set aside, there's still some businesses. I carry the mask in my pocket only just to, you know, go along to get along kind of deal. It's like, okay, if that bothers you, I'll put it on. I'm not worried about it. I'm already, I'm covered myself. I mean, I got the COVID. My immune system is stronger than somebody who got the injection. But there's no conversation about people and how many millions of people have the COVID, didn't even know that they even had the COVID, and yet their immune system, and I believe they're participating in the results of this herd immunity that we're enjoying right now. DeRoy Murdoch, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much. The Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, founding member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. Take care, buddy.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A movement to change the map of Idaho to include rural counties in eastern and southern Oregon and as far as northern California is moving forward. The president of Move Oregon's Border for a Greater Idaho, Mike McCarter, has rallied seven of Oregon's 36 counties to vote in favor of considering becoming a part of Idaho.
It's not the final straw. This has been going on for several years, but it's just reaching ahead right now. And the people in rural Oregon are starting to speak out. Enough is enough. We are tired of being ruled by Northwest Oregon and their experiments up there, their taxes up there, their drug freedom and everything that's going on up there, and we are just crying out to let us go. Allow us to be part of Idaho.
Mr. McCarter on Fox News says he's ashamed of Oregon's social experiments. USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Oh, you're going to like this next topic. We're going to have with Jeff Kemp. I'm sure when he saw it come across his email, he's going, oh, goodness. Martinez is really putting me in the crosshairs on this one. The topic is, when did you realize it was not your job to fix your spouse? Oh, mucho caliente, let me tell you. Okay, just calm down just a minute because we're going to put this right where it belongs in just a moment here. Jeff Kemp, the former NFL quarterback, and you say, what do NFL quarterbacks have to do with marriage and relationships? This is where Jeff's heart has been, really. Even from day one, he was wired this way about relationships. And, of course, God's been using him and his ministry to deal with family issues and marriage and counseling and, things about, things from the Word of God. And interestingly enough, in a culture right now that wants to resist, Jeff, I got to bring you on here right now. I know you're probably taking a deep breath and go, oh, God, give me the words. How you doing, buddy?
Good, Bill. And that's a good prayer all the time. Oh, God, give me the words, give me the actions, and give me the attitude of humility to be able to handle this radio interview and be able to handle my marriage and be able to handle our day. So God help us. I hope you can handle your radio show with God's wisdom, which takes humility. But I love this topic. I think, you know what? You said that I was a football player, but I've been committed to marriage. I needed so much help when I got married 38 years ago to Stacy, to make our marriage strong. And we got so much mentoring, so much coaching, so much biblical content. And we started sharing that with the other people on our team. and then our teams because we got traded. Mm-hmm. And we brought him in our home, and we watched these videos from Gary Smalley and said, hey, we're not fixed, but we're getting help. Do you want to go through these with us? Mm-hmm. And that began our life of marriage investing. And I think that it's good for people to stop right now and think about marriage and realize the reason it's not doing well in our society and in our own lives is because we take a consumer approach to it.
Yes.
Instead of an investor approach.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of Gary, I just spoke last Friday with his son, Greg. You know, Gary has since passed, as you know. Mm-hmm. And Greg has picked up the mantle. And Erin, I think she gets really nervous when, you know, when Greg and I talk.
We go to the edges.
We go to the edges. You know, it's like we're... We're full spear to roam, man, I'm telling you. But, hey, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and he keeps us out of the briars as best we can. But we're dealing with these tough questions, just like you say. And you know, because, guys, our nature is we want to fix things. I mean, we got tool belts. You know, there's a problem. You know, we got the solution. We got this, honey. Don't worry. And, boy, but when it comes to our spouses, you know, God has a different prescription that is counter what we would say would be the male nature.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important to remember that God is a God of relationships. He made us human beings for a relationship. And the best relationship is oneness, where you identify with and attach yourself to and become symbiotically committed to that person. That's the way God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are with each other.
Yeah.
And that's why he says that husband and wife become one, and that's a picture of God's loving character, and secondly, his love for us, the church, that
exactly.
Man, Jesus was willing to die for us when we didn't want it or deserve it.
Yeah.
So if you have a big picture of marriage for God's blueprints, then you can say, okay, so we really need God's help to do this, don't we? Okay, so maybe God's mission in this is not to make me happy, but to make me more like Jesus. And maybe some of the challenges and frustrations of our marriage, her imperfections, his imperfections, my own, are meant to help me depend on God and change my character to become more like Jesus. And I think all of us know that when you complained about something in your spouse, pointed out the negative, criticized it, was sarcastic, and tried to change them, fix them, punish them, critique them, you got bad results, right? It did not help. So the only person that you can directly change is you. Yeah. And you can only change with Jesus' help. It's humility-based. Once you change, the dynamic of the relationship changes, and that's the way to love your spouse, by working on yourself, praying for them, being honest with them, not hiding issues, but not trying to fix them as much as, hey, let's make the relationship better. And you know, here's a great Gary Smalley question that he used to give to guys. He goes, are you too cheap or embarrassed to go to marriage counseling? Hey, don't worry. You've got a private, free, built-in marriage counselor, your wife.
Yeah.
Just ask her at a moment where there's a decent mood, 0 to 10, hey, babe, how's our relationship doing? And then when she says, you know, 3, and you thought it was an 8, don't roll your eyes and say, come on, it's at least a 6. Accept what she says, say thank you, and then ask this question. What would it take to move our relationship closer to a 10?
Yeah.
Right there, you just got some marriage coaching, some husbanding advice, some tips on playing the game in your marriage as a husband, or you could do the same thing as a wife to your husband. 0 to 10, how's that relationship? And what do you think would move it closer to a 10? And then keep in mind what they said. That's your game plan. And then ask God to help you put that game plan into practice.
Exactly.
I'll give an example. Recently, my wife told me that I've pretty much been a gentle guy my whole life, forgetful, ADD, not the biggest help around the house. She needed to remind me, you know, 4 times to do something. But lately, I'm a little bit more of a servant, and I might even be a little less forgetful. But when she critiques me or says, you didn't do this, or says her, I've hurt her feelings, I get really bristly. And she said, you know what? For some reason, you've become harsh in those instances, something you never were before. Because I don't need you to be perfect and never, you know, do things wrong. I just need you to know when you hurt my feelings and care about that, care about me, and apologize sooner rather than, you know, delaying it, defending it, making it worse. And that I am a good eventual apologizer, but lately I haven't been as good of an immediate apologizer. So my wife gave me that advice. And you know what? It's good advice. And I'm improving our marriage.
I'll tell you what crushes me, Jeff, just what Stacy just said to you. You know, you hurt me. Oh, my gosh. I mean, that when you hear those words coming from your wife.
You hurt me.
Yeah, oh, my gosh. That's devastating.
Well, we men feel like failures, and that's my problem. I don't want to feel like a failure, particularly in the most important thing in my life, my marriage.
Yes.
So I kind of spin things in a way that says it wasn't really my fault. She was too sensitive. She overreacted, blah, blah, blah. I didn't.
Yeah, honey, what's the matter? You can't handle the blitz, huh? Come on, read my book.
I'm not quite that bad.
Well, that's okay, because I could just picture the book flying across the living room after that statement. Right. Of course, that's my statement. It's not Jeff's, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah. I'm just being a smart aleck, but go ahead.
So I want to. You and I want to give people hope. We're not here to critique them and say, oh, you're messing up your marriage. You should do better. Be more like Jesus. You know, you got to be an investor. You're acting like a consumer. Or if someone is divorced, that they should feel guilty. No, God has forgiven the past, and he wants to grow you and move you forward from this day forward. We want to say there's hope, and the hope is in focusing on what God can do to change your character, to invest in your spouse, learn from them, give them the best experience possible, and that will start changing the dynamic of your relationship.
Yeah, it's amazing how when your perspective changes, Jeff, it's amazing what that does. It's that old saying, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. I changed that to say obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off his goal. And when we realize what God's goal is about this incredible institution called marriage, it's to be a blessing that we can complete one another. It is an awesome vision that he has for us. Jeff Kemp, NFL former quarterback and ministry leader, has been with us. Thank you, Jeff.
Got to finish this today.
Cristiano's construction projects typically run smoothly, but this project's pipeline is about to burst.
Yo, boss, where do you want us to put this?
To the left. Your other left. John.
Indeed can help him hire the people he needs.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job, you immediately get your short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
For $1 a day, if any covered appliance breaks in your home, we guarantee to fix or replace it. All makes and models, washers, dryers, refrigerators, air conditioners, and more. Guaranteed to be fixed or replaced for $1 a day. Call the Home Service Club now for free information.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Making the best of this day, and that's your best day ever, your best weekend. Why not? Let's just string it all the way out through the weekend, and we're back with you 14 minutes before the top of the hour. This is Foster Care Awareness Month. I don't know if you're aware of that, but now you are. Foster Care Awareness Month, and there's so much to understand and appreciate about the families and the children involved. Dr. Sharon Ford, with Focus on the Family, is going to be joining us in just a few seconds here. Nationally recognized child welfare consultant and currently serves as the director for foster care and adoption at Focus on the Family. So we're on standby, waiting for her to join us. Oh, she is now with us. Dr. Ford, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hi. Good to be with you today, Bill.
I am so excited to be talking about Foster Care Awareness Month. We have interviewed so many children who have experienced foster care, the great part of being with a forever family, and the downside of what happens when you age out, you know, all these nuances, because, you know, foster care is very complicated, isn't it?
It is. It is. You know, it's a system that's supposed to make sure that the children are safe. It also helps to work with families who are struggling in some of their choices. And so how do you balance working with the family, the parents, balance keeping the children safe? And then giving the resources in the community so that the family can really work through and hopefully get their children back together again. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's really that's ideal. It's for the children to be with the mom and dad that created them, or at least one of the parents, if you can't have both, that, you know, loves them like nobody else. I mean, we appreciate what foster care has done, and you've got, you know, foster care parents out there. It is so hard for me sometimes to relate, Sharon, that, you know, you get these people that invest their hearts in these kids, and, man, I mean, to have them there, part of your home, and then, you know, for them to go on, that really pulls the heartstrings for me.
It does. But, you know, I was just talking with a foster dad yesterday, and he was saying how he still was connected with the young man that had been placed in his home for several years. Mm-hmm. And what a blessing it was, he said, to see him continue to flourish and to see that family being they're stronger and healthier because of the services that they provide, that they receive from child welfare. And he said that was the right decision for his family to serve that way.
What a victory when you have these kind of stories like this, when a child has to go be a part of the foster care system, but then have a have redemption and be able to come back to the family, for the family to have redemption and to come back together as a unit. Wow, you know, we need to hear a lot more of those incredible success stories, because this is all about the human spirit and God's almighty hand on their lives, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Bill, and that's why it's so important that every state, every community right now is in need of more foster families. Mm-hmm. And so we have to ask our, you know, take this time to ask, is God calling your family to make a difference in the life of a child for a moment or for a longer season, and also to be the bridge towards healing for that first family?
Exactly. How do they go about doing that, Dr. Ford?
Well, first of all, prayer. Everything has to start with prayer.
Amen.
Secondly, they can go online and Google foster care agency in my near me. Mm-hmm. And so whether it comes up as a state office person agency or a private faith-based agency, go and follow up and call them and say, when's your next orientation? So that they can go and meet the staff and ask questions and find out, when does the training begin? When do I need to have my home study start? And when, tell me about the children that you're looking to place. Some folks think, oh, it's always the babies. Well, I'm here to tell you there's lots of kids who are 15, 16 years old who are being removed from their homes as well. They have suffered for a long time. And finally, they come to the attention of child welfare, and so they've been removed too. And they want to be in a home and not in a residential facility.
I got to imagine this is like getting a PhD in compassion and mercy, isn't it?
It is.
You know, when you're dealing with, you know, children in their teens, and you have no idea of what they've gone through, but you do have an idea of what they need, right?
Yes. And one of the things that we all know that they need is a listening ear.
Mm-hmm.
They need compassion. They need a chance to heal. And they need a chance to know that somebody cares for them.
Well, when you say that there's orientation, let's walk us through what a process. Somebody makes the call to an agency near them, says, I'm interested. How long does it take from that phone call for somebody to go through? I can understand that it could vary, you know, but by and large, what we're talking about before somebody actually has a child in their home.
Well, it, that time frame does vary. So once you've done orientation, you could probably surmise that it might take you 6 weeks before you could actually get into a training. Mm-hmm. And then maybe during that training process, you get assigned a home study worker who's going to actually be coming into your home to talk with you and your spouse, talk with your children or any other adult individuals that are living in the home. That process might take you 3 to 4 months to be able to do it. Boy, but about 6 months. If everybody's doing their piece and everything's clicking along, no issues, boy, in about 6 months, you could potentially look at finishing the process and having a child enter your home for foster care.
And Dr. Ford, I got to imagine during this process, you're building up a network, because there are other people like yourself, going through this process, that you can help one another. There's nothing like an abundance of counselors as you go through, what you're embarking on, right?
Bill, you make an important point. It is about building up your network. You want to build up that group of individuals who will stand with you, walk in this journey with you. So you might encourage, you know, a family member to actually come and go through the training with you. You're going to be meeting people just like yourself, who's interested in touching a child's life. So you're going to make new friends, build new relationships, and you're going to be each other's support system, okay? You're also going to have an opportunity to meet families who are currently doing the work, and so that you can learn from them. They're going to share stories with you and let you be available for you to ask questions of, because, you know, iron sharpens iron. And so it's
exactly.
Like, gosh, they're a seasoned foster parent. These are some of their concerns that they thought about. Oh, I can talk to them, and we can have coffee together and And you'll learn and grow as you go through this process of being prepared and equipped to welcome a child into your home for a season or for a lifetime.
You know, Sharon, I'd mentioned before you joined us that in some cases, I mean, you know, we talked about, you know, acquiring children, you know, 15, 16 years old, and you're helping them out. Is there an age-out situation like in other services?
You know, most before the pandemic, most youth aged out of the system at age 18. If they never were able to go back home safely, if their parental rights were never terminated so that they could get an adoptive family, those young people aged out. But during the pandemic season, the federal government shared with states, really, let's do the wise thing. Let's protect these young people. And if they need to stay in longer so that they have a place to live, food to eat, access to medical care, most states kept kids in care to age 20 during that pandemic time. And so, but even at 20, are we ready to be on our own, just totally independent? Heck no. And that's why we also, the system needs good mentors. Who are those seasoned, mature elders? Who, and when I say elder, you don't have to be 60 to be an elder. You could be a mature 45-year-old, 35-year-old even, for that matter, that would walk alongside a young woman or a young man in their journey of life and help be that good counselor to them, not someone to run their life for them, but someone just to speak into them. They're at the other end of the phone call, that they're at the other end of the text to say, gosh, do you have a few moments to talk with me? All of us need that, and these young people specifically need it.
Exactly. How can people become mentors in this system?
Again, reaching out to the child welfare system in your agent in your community and asking them about the CHAFE program or the adolescent program in their state. And there are workers who are specifically assigned to work with adolescents. And so getting connected with them, they'll be able to let you know who are the young people who need a mentor. And you know what? Most people need more than one mentor. Because we all have different skill sets and we have different time levels of commitment that we can give to a situation.
Exactly. Well, these are great avenues in which to get involved, to be an answer for prayer, you know, for these young people. You know, and that's the other thing, too, that really tugs on you is when somebody ages out, you know, what happens to them? Are they just, you know, put out in the street, Sharon? Or, you know, what happens to these kids that age out?
Well, their adolescent worker has the responsibility of sitting down with that young person and saying, okay, what are some of your goals? What are some of the things that you're working on? And are you going to go to vo-tech school? Are you going to, what about the military? Looking at what kind of career choices they can make and getting them connected with resources in the community. Also helping them to look at, okay, you need to have this kind of money saved to be able to afford an apartment. And, you know, unfortunately, some of our young people they're working at a McDonald's or a Burger King. That doesn't pay the rent these days when even a studio apartment is expensive.
Exactly. You know? Well, we got to leave it there. Where can they go for more information? Real quick, Dr. Ford.
They can go to waitnomore.org.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.